Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Samuel. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
You know, one of the things as we're moving forward in life, this situation here with Samuel is he was developing. He was around and he was developing in a relationship with the Lord. He didn't have some deep personal relationship with God yet. That's coming. We'll get to it in chapter 3. But right now in this situation, he's around. He's around the things of the Lord. He's exposed to them and he's developing. I think that how God can use youth and young people. And I think through when I was thinking about just the kids and different people that, you know, God's using them and God wants to use them. But it's interesting, on the flip side, you've also got Moses, who is 80. And God wants to use everybody. It's not an age thing. It's an availability. Am I available to God? And we're going to really talk about that a lot in chapter 3. So we'll just save that thought. But man, there's so much in that thought about really truly being available. The other thought is this idea of really developing a personal relationship. There comes a time where it's important, I think it's important to be talking about it regularly, but there's a sometimes they're going to make mistakes and fumble around a little bit, but this ongoing development, you got to develop things with kids, and you got to be telling them, hey man, you need to have your walk with God. You need to have a personal walk with God. And I think that's really important that they have a personal relationship. They're getting to that point where they're going to develop that. It's this part of this passing it on, you know, as time goes by, passing that on. I think the other thing is we see, again, just touching on this, is the example that the parents were. The parents came around. The parents were involved. The parents were connected to what was going on. I think that's so very important. Now, Eli was very old, in verse 22, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they were just doing perverse things. And so he said to them, why do you do such things? So he talks to them, but he says, why do you do these things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. Basically, judgment was on its way. They were unrepentant, and God was going to deal with them. You know, there's this truth that you find through the Word often where people misunderstand God's silence for a period of time as approval. I would caution myself and all of us, and I would make sure you are thinking about cautioning your young people in this, that silence isn't necessarily approval at all. It's grace and mercy. Because judgment will still, God will deal with sin. It's just that simple. Ultimately, God will deal with it. There are ramifications to it. There's really no such thing as silly sin. We kind of think that way sometimes. Well, that's just kind of a silly, no, there's going to be ramifications to it probably. That's the way it works. I have not once made a serious error in that type of thing, but that there wasn't a pretty steep price tag. It's just the way it is. There's ramifications to it. Everything I read in here clearly tells me there's ramifications to those decisions. Better to decide for the Lord. But see, we start thinking, allow ourselves to be duped into by our society and our world that no, God's not going to deal with that. That's not that big, you know. No, that's a mistake. Don't think that way. That's not biblical. This is a clear example of that. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in the favor with both the Lord and men. I think that's a great example of what happens. Samuel did right. Samuel followed the Lord. He was doing the right thing, and God is blessing him. There is benefit in following the Lord. Show that to you, young people. He grew in stature and in favor with both the Lord and men. There's a benefit to it. It's a good thing. You know, this idea of light certainly seems to, a candle, it can be seem very, very bright in the darkest of places, right? You know, sometimes things become dark. This is a dark situation here. And Samuel's just this little candle burning there, you know? He's got these other big guys around doing dumb stuff and all this stuff. You know what? Did he flee? Well, guy, Hophni and Phinehas, man, those guys are just jacked. I'm out of here, man. They're not treating me very right. I don't like the way this is working. I'm just out of here, you know? Did you see Samuel fleeing? No way, man. He's there to serve the Lord. That is true service, and that's the way we want to function as a body of believers. That's the way we want to serve the Lord and serve one another. We want to do it unto the Lord with our focus on God, not on people. Because there's always going to be Hophni and Phinehas around. Penina's always going to be around. Well, just Penina's just vibing me so bad, you know. Well, so you can't pray? I mean, you get what I'm saying? We're using these things, and then we're going to try and find Mecca out there somewhere. The perfect place, the perfect group of people, the perfect church. Good luck. Don't join. You'll ruin it. You know? Really. It doesn't exist anywhere. We're imperfect people about a very divine task. It's a weird combination. And so all we can do, that's why grace is available, that's why forgiveness is available, that's why those things are so important to the body of Christ. Man, I love this stuff because it's so true. Man, Samuel didn't bail out. He didn't freak out. He just hung in there. He's just this kid. He's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's just committed to the Lord. And a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord." Man, they show up. They show up. Listen when they show up. Brothers and sisters, listen when they show up. Thus says the Lord, "Did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house?" And he goes all the way back to the beginning of the nation. It says, "Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel to be made by fire? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place? And honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the things of Israel, my people." Man. Basically, what he's saying is, why are you choosing? This is the New Jim Standard version. Okay, this is the basic gist of what's being said. Why are you not dealing with this situation? Basically, is what this guy's coming to him saying. Why? You know, why do you, it's more important that you're buddies with your kids, or that your kids think you're cool, or whatever that is. Instead, you're supposed to be teaching them right from wrong. Our oldest was about, maybe 6 months old or so. And we were living in a place that had, you remember the old wall furnaces. But this wall furnace had, you know, its kind of grid on it was like, it was probably an inch and a half wide, you know, the grid on it. So, and then the burner was behind that. You know, unfortunately, a little kid's hands could get right through that very easily. And being, it's natural, it's normal. Curious little kid. It's normal stuff. I understand that. Crawling over there and gets right up, and I tell him, no. And I was really firm. Tell him, no. And he'd get up, he'd get a little closer, he'd start to lift his hand up to it, and I'd walk right up, and I'd bam, right on his hand, slap his hand. Now, he'd get big crocodile tears, so would I. You know, we all felt bad about it. I felt sick over it. But you know what? These are my choices as a young dad. One, I don't really know anything about what I'm doing. I'm clueless. This guy came to me without an owner's manual. I was clueless of what to do. All I knew was, man, look, I love him enough that I don't want him to hurt himself. And he doesn't know enough not to hurt himself. So I've got two choices. I let him do this, and I take him to the hospital. And they make inquiry of me, you dumb guy, why did you let your kid do that? When I explain, well, I just didn't want to slap his hand, you know? You know what I mean? Or I repetitively hit his hand like that and tell him no. Until he starts to go over toward it and he just looks back at me. I said, no, stay away from that. You see, brothers and sisters, I don't really care what any of you think of me when it comes to something like that. Because I have one person to answer to, the Lord God, and in my own heart, I have to answer for that kid. Did I do him right? Did I do him right or did I not? You see what I'm saying? I have to answer before the Lord for that, just like you will for yours. I would rather risk the error of making sure that they don't do things that are going to damage themselves or hurt themselves. And when I say no, I mean no. And there's a reason. It's not complicated. Read all the books you want in the world. That's fine. This says do exactly what I didn't know all this then. I wasn't reading this owner's manual at that point in time. I was kind of messed up. But what I'm saying is once I got into this owner's manual, I realized, wow, so that's really how it works. It's difficult. Well, this guy wanted to be his kid's buddy all the time. Doesn't work like that. It is so much, please, will you do yourselves a favor? Sit down and deal straight with your kids, please. Help them. Deal straight with them. This world is just a horrible, horrible place. And other people are not nice, you know, all the time. And it's so important that you deal with things straight. Man, it's just horrible when you watch how this plays out. You know, in Proverbs 22:6, it talks about train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, just spend just a second. We all recite that easy, easy. It comes right off our lips. But what did it say to do? Train up a child. Who's the leader? And who's the follower? Your kids aren't the parents. You're the parent. Be a parent. We finally got to a point in time where I'd look at my kids and I could tell by looking at them if they really knew that if they went out and did something, that they're probably going to get in trouble. I'd look at them, I'd go, you want me to just tell you no? I don't mind being the bad guy. I would rather be that scapegoat. Do you see what I'm saying? Be right with them on something like that. It's okay. But isn't that better than them getting caught up in some sin thing that they don't belong, you know, or some situation that they don't belong in? Wouldn't that be better? It's not that difficult. It's train up means that you're to lead and they're to follow. Now, be something that they can follow. Be that. Be that to them. Man, I think it's so wonderful. This is such good, great stuff. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel in verse 30 says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me, shall be lightly esteemed. He says, man, you have not honored me. You've honored your kids above me. Well, I've got to go do this and I've got to go do that. I cannot believe the schedules that people do. And they say, well, our kids, we've got to, you know, you can tell your kids no. God is important. The assembling of the body, these are important things, but so often it's the first that's discarded. I don't understand it. And that's not coming from a pastor, that's coming from a Christian. How's that? That's coming from a dad. That's not coming from a pastor. It happens to be coming from him too, but it's more coming from the dad side of me. It's just, man, that's the priority. And we wonder, well, I don't understand why it's all gone that way. Well, what were your priorities? It'll play out. I'm telling you, it'll play out over and over again. And we can cry in our milk over it, or we can just roll on and know that, oh, God, help us to do right at this point. Help us to be an example today, because that's really what we can do. Behold, the days are coming, and this is the judgment that's going to happen. I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. And you will see an enemy in my dwelling place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. But any of your men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. Now, this shall be a sign to you that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. Whew. Can you imagine the Lord talking to you like that? I'd just go freak out and die somewhere. Just being dealt with straight on this. This is what's going to happen. And then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind, and will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. Few things on that. Definitely Samuel fits part of that scope, no doubt, short term. But obviously, Jesus is the ultimate one that matches up with, certainly, you know, no doubt. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and say, please put me in one of the priest's positions that I may eat a piece of bread. And this is really just basically how bad things are going to get. You know, this idea is simple. It is a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord. At any capacity, in any way, it's a privilege and an honor. And when we start putting other things in front of it and not really honoring the Lord with it, it goes south. It gets bad. It gets messed up. I just see so simply in just that chapter, just the priorities that are there. Just the simple man putting God first, loving God, following God, making godly decisions, and God just seems to really honor that. He just seems to really move through that. I think a lot of times we just live in a world that we don't want it to cost anything, you know? Sacrifice isn't a popular term. And we certainly don't oftentimes like want our kids to sacrifice anything sometimes. But, you know, I'm telling you, my folks did me right in so many ways in that. You know, really, really did me right. I grew up in a fairly affluent community, and my parents did well. And so it wasn't that resource was really an issue. But my dad never went out, but very seldom. There were a couple of times in my life that my dad did that, very seldom. Most of the time, he partnered with me. You save this much, I'll match the money, and we'll go do that, Jim. And you know, I thought, gosh, man, why is my dad like this? I thought that as a kid. I never say anything to him about it, you know. I just thought in my mind, like, God, I don't know why he's like this. You know, my other buddy's dad, they just go talk to him, and their dad goes and buys him something and stuff. My dad wasn't like that. And if I did ask about it, I only asked once or twice because then I got the same answer every time and that was done. There was no need to ever ask again. And it was always the same thing. You know, I don't know how other people do things, son, but they're not my kids. You are. kind of think God kind of looks. It was pretty godly, really, you know? My dad was treating me the way my Heavenly Father, I read about, treats things. But you know what it does? It develops a character and an understanding about things that's different than what's all out there in our world. This idea of a sense of entitlement that everybody walks around with, that somebody else is supposed to pay for their college experience and it's owed to them. And I don't know, I just wasn't taught that way. And I just think that sometimes this stuff is just, it's right there, you know? We saw two families and we saw two outcomes. One guy who let things just kind of run amok and obviously just wasn't willing to do some of the hard things that needed to be done and look at the outcome of it. It's really kind of selfish, isn't it? It's really kind of selfish. He didn't want to come off, Eli didn't want to come off as kind of an uncool guy or a bad guy to, you know, his kids or something, or, you know, he didn't want to come off that way. And now their judgment's going to drop, right? The hammer's going to drop on him because he didn't man up. That's the way I see it. He didn't do what God wanted him to do, and then boom, now it's going to, and it's just sad to me. And I see this all over today. I just, you know, for me, I desperately wish men would be men. That men would love God, that men would get in contact with what it really means to be a man. Oh, well, gosh, I don't cry. Oh, great, does that make you a man? I don't understand any of that kind of talk. This has nothing to do with it. It has to do with doing things that God says and being honest and straightforward about those things. And when you throw the rock through the window, you say you threw the rock through the window, you know? And when it costs your allowance for the next 6 weeks to pay for it, so be it. I just think, man, we just lost touch with that. And I think, man, it was a great example, wasn't it? Of the extreme reality of what happens when you don't deal with stuff when the kids are young and what ends up happening to it. Or you go ahead and you just deal with stuff. You commit them to the Lord. You're around. You make them their little robe. They don't have all the greatest stuff in the world, but you care for them. You love on them. And man, God can really use them. See, one day we're going to the other side. You know, eternity's there. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. And I know that some of you may have a tug on your heart that the Lord's just kind of speaking to you personally and that you'd like to give your life to Jesus or maybe like to give your life back to Jesus. Well, this is your opportunity. This is your time. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Jesus desires to have fellowship, personal relationship with us. And so he stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. He loves us. He doesn't force entrance into our lives, but he wants you to open the door and invite him in. And so I want to give you an opportunity right now just to pray a simple prayer of faith. Again, it doesn't matter whether you're driving or you're sitting at home or you're out on a walk with your earbuds in, whatever it might be, but this is your opportunity to give your life and get back to Jesus or give it to Jesus that you might have everlasting life. He wants to spend all eternity with you and he wants you to have life abundant. So if you would just pray this simple prayer with me, Jesus, I want to invite you into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all of my sin. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take my sin and my old life and just give me a new life in you. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. I thank you for the new life that I have in you now. And I just ask that your Holy Spirit would come into my life and fill me to overflowing, that I might accomplish your purpose. Lord, that your will would be done now in and through my life. I give my life to you. I thank you for the new life I have. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings. The service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus, come.